Thank you very much, Andre. And thank you, everybody, for coming out. It's good to see you. And we trust that the Lord would bless us. Now, I want to read a familiar verse, John 3:16. And we've been singing about God's love, and as we sought God's face for the word through the week, it was the love of God that kept coming to my mind. So we'll read a few verses. We'll read this one and then John 3:16, was really, really well known verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now over to Romans, please, and chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, please. And we'll read from verse 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, or depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, over to, please, to 1 John, please. Over to 1 John and chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, please. And we'll read from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Thereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know that we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has seen? And this is condemnation. And this condemnation have we from him, that he that loveth God, loveth, this commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God, love his brother also. We love him because he first loved us. You know, I can remember going to Sunday school in Dromore, and must only have been about four, and I can remember it well. I had the wee cream short trousers and a green knitted pullover, and the Sunday school teacher, she gave me a wee plaque-shaped thing with a pin in the back of it. You used to get them, they were like cardboard, and there was three words on it. And it said, God is love. And I remember, you know, when you had very little and you got something God gave to you, it was really special. But it's not until you get to know the Lord that you realize just how great his love is for us. We sang tonight, how great the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. We have read in verse 8 here, it says, God is love. Now, we would ask ourselves, why does God love us? We read there in John 3, for God so loved the world. Why would God love a world like this that we're in tonight? A world that is full of godless leaders, leaders that are trying to promote wickedness and evil. And yet, in the day of grace that we live in, the banner over us, we could say, is love. God still loves us. God still offers salvation to the whosoever will tonight. And we have said, why should God love us? And as I was sitting at the table through the week and reading through these verses, we say, where did our love from God come from? Where did my love from God come from? You see, we were born and we had no love for God. And whenever we grew up into the world, in fact, we found we had a deep love for the things of the world. We had a love for everything that was wrong, and everything that was sinful, and everything that was against God, and every wicked thing. The more sinful and vile it was, the more we seemed to love it. So where did our love from God really come from? And when we read here in verse 10, it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. So it was a love that we weren't born with. We weren't born with this love. Something had to happen. So we read here, you know, not that we love God, but that he loved us. We had no love for God as we were born into the world, that as we have been already saying. You see, you would say, well, it was love for God that brought you to the Savior. For me, it wasn't. It wasn't love for God that brought me to the Savior. Because until I was saved, it was impossible for me to love God the way I should. Well, what was it brought me to the Saviour? What was it brought any of us to the Saviour? In my account, I can honestly say it was fear of perishing that brought me to the Saviour. I wasn't afraid that I didn't love God the way I should. I knew I didn't love God. But I knew that with the love I had for the world and for the sin of the world, I knew that I had a soul and it needed God's salvation. And I knew that my soul was going to live for all eternity. And I knew that this life that I had was the only chance that I was ever going to get right with God. And I was at the age where I realized in a world of full of dangers and things, we just do not know how soon or when we could be called to leave the world and go out. So it wasn't a love for God that brought me to Him. It was a fear of perishing in my sin and going down into a lost eternity. You see, the love of God is totally and completely unexplainable. Why He should love us. We sang those lovely words again. How great. You know, I wonder sometimes these people that wrote hymns like this here, they must have really been enjoying the deep things of God. They must have really been enjoying the wonder of being loved. You know, I often say, I can remember growing up in a family where there was no love shown at all. No love shown at all. And I can remember the first time anybody told me they loved me. And I was about 23 years of age, and it was my wife. And we were walking around Lurgan Park, and there was a thunderstorm come on. And we were going together, and we took shelter underneath a big chestnut tree, and we're standing there, and it was all very romantic. And I remember her telling me there that day, it was a Sunday evening, and she told me she loved me. And you know, you could have knocked me down with a feather, because there I was at 23, and to be truthful with you, nobody had ever told me in my life that they loved me, ever. And I can remember standing there, and it just totally took the feet from under me that somebody actually loved me. But you know, that's a love for someone else. And you fall in love with somebody, and we can understand that because you like them, you get on with them, you've lots of things in common. But you know, when God looked down on me, I had nothing in common with God. And furthermore, God had nothing in common with me. My life was totally alienated from God. And the things of God meant nothing to me. But there was a time came in all our lives when it was the fear of perishing. I'm going down into a lost eternity and being lost forever that brought me and us to the Saviour. And you could say yourself, well, I was just thinking of that verse. In verse 19 again, we read, we love Him because He first loved us. And you see, the way it worked for me, and I'm sure the way it worked for us, for all of us, the moment I put my trust in God's Son as Savior, and the moment anyone puts their trust in God's Son, when they realize what He has done for them, when they realize the sinful creature they are and the judgment they deserve, and yet God in His grace has loved us. And once we open up and accept God's Son as our Savior, something really happens. Something really happens. We read there in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. The moment we trusted Christ as our Savior, we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things were passed away, and all things become new. You see, that's what the Bible talks about being born again. That is the new birth. That's what it is to be born again. You see, the things of the world still trouble us, but we don't love them. If we could escape from them out of this sinful body, we would fly from them. But you see, there's a new nature within us now. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And the moment we trusted Christ, we were filled with the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God, and we had a love in our souls that we could never, ever experience before. And we can honestly say this evening, if God had never have loved us, we would never have any inclination to turn or to love God. But because he has loved us, because we have cried out to him, because we have accepted his Son as our Savior, we can say this evening, we love him because he first loved us. You know, it's a wonderful thing. In a world of uncertainties, it's a wonderful thing to be able to say that you know God. Just to say you know God. You know, I truly believe that we are so close, it's frighteningly close we are, to the rapture, to the Lord calling us home. And tonight, I wouldn't be without the Lord. The hymn writer said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land, or be led by his nail-pierced hand. You know, I don't have any... I never was a person for music. I have no love for music. I'm not a musical person in any way. But I did hear in the news through the week that that man, that heavy metal man that we knew by the name of Meat Loaf, that he died at the age of 74. He was a man that promoted wickedness. He was a man that promoted Satanism all his life. And he sang satanic songs, and he was in a satanic group, and he promoted this satanic drive, as it were, through his music. And he sung satanic words like, I want to be damned. And imagine going out to meet God. Now, I don't know what way the man died, and I'm not judging. I hope he repented. I hope he came to know the Savior. But imagine going out into eternity and not saved and having made your fortune and your name and going out into a lost eternity and having led millions down that path with the words in your mind, I want to be damned. And they also sang that hymn, if you'll excuse the expression, like a bat out of hell. And I thought through the week as very much as I thought about that dear man. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if he sang words like that and refused the love of God and went out into eternity and ended up in hell and never to get out and to be there only to the great white throne judgment, and then to be cast into the lake of fire, and to have missed out on the love of God, to have rejected the love of God. You see, the world tonight is full of people that unfortunately would rather have silver or gold than the Lord. They would rather have the fame and everything that comes with it, because they can see no further than this world. And you see, it's a tremendous thing, and I know when we're young we don't appreciate it, but it is a real tremendous blessing that, to have been brought up in the gospel and to know about God and to have heard the message of the gospel. Because there's a day coming very soon, and for us all, that when we're going to have to leave this world and go out to meet God. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. You know, the hymn writer said, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." And those of us who are saved tonight can identify with that, and we can say that the moment we trusted Him, we had a love for God that was alien to us all our life. And if God never had have sought us and loved us, we never would have sought Him. That's why that hymn, I love that hymn, "How great the Father's love for us," goes on to say that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. You know, there's none of us really has anything to boast about, anything to blow about. The best of men are only men that are saved by the grace of God. That is why we're told in the book of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, the joy, can you imagine it? The joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. What it means for a sinner to come and accept God's Son brings the deepest and the greatest joy to the heart of the God of heaven and to the heart of a son. That what He went through on the cross, what the agony of the garden, means everything to the Father, that a sinner should come and accept His Son. I wonder tonight, what does it really, really mean to you that God sent not a Son into this world to condemn you, but that the world through Him might be saved? To be indwelt by the love of God is a tremendous thing. You know, when we go back to the book of Romans, and in chapter 8, we read this lovely verse in 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Isn't that wonderful? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he goes over a list. He says, "Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" And then he comes down to verse 38, and he says, and listen to this, he says, "For I am persuaded," isn't that wonderful? He says, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, or depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, when Paul was writing this, It seems that he searches heaven and earth. He realizes what he has in Christ is invincible. He realizes what he has in the Lord is eternal. It's something that is of great value. Something that is really, really worth having. And then, you know, the thought would cross someone's mind, maybe further down the line. Is it possible that I could be separated from God? Is it possible that this love of God towards me could fail? Because I'm a failure. You know, there's a wee poem that a fellow told me one time, and I love to quote it. When I'm beaten in the fight, Jesus knows. When my day is turned to night, Jesus knows. When my life seems all in vain, Jesus bids me start again, and he turns my losses into gain, for Jesus knows. Is it possible that I could be separated from the love of God? Paul says, I am persuaded. I am totally and completely persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, angels, whether fallen or not fallen, principalities, world powers, he says, or things present, the troubles of the things and the persecution they were going through, or things to come. No matter, Paul was saying, no matter how bad it gets, I am persuaded that I cannot be separated from the love of God. And listen to this, he says, neither height nor depth. And then he finishes with this, and I love this, nor any other creature, anything, in heaven, or on earth, or in hell, no power known can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Don't we truly tonight, Andrew was saying that we gathered and we remembered the Lord this morning. Isn't it wonderful? To think, you know, sometimes when I sit at the Lord's table, I have to pinch myself. And I say to myself, how did I ever make it here? How did God in his grace and mercy ever search me out and ever change me? I had got to the state where I couldn't even love myself. And yet God loved me. And he sought us everyone out. And he placed in our heart a love for his son. Wonderful tonight. It's truly, truly wonderful to be saved by the grace of God. And it's truly wonderful to be kept by the power of God. And you know, Paul says, nor any other creature. You know, just for a minute, at the close, we read that lovely verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world. There we can see something of the measure of God's love. If we had said, for God so loved South Africa, for God so loved the nation of America, or some place like that, or God so loved Russia, You know, to be really honest, we could say, well, God had no call to love us. Wasn't it good of God to love someone? Wasn't it good of God to show grace to some nation or some people on earth? But it just opens up the measure of God's love. Don't we sing with the children, God's love is like a circle. Circle big and round, and when you see a circle, no ending can be found. And so the love of Jesus goes on eternally, forever and forever, to show that God loves me. The measure of God's love. You know, I have been thinking through the week of those dear people sitting over there in Ukraine, and that army. I believe there's something like 100,000 soldiers that are massed on the border of Ukraine, and they're just waiting on the word to go in, and they'll go in and it'll be bloodshed. And we think of the innocent civilians there. We think of the little innocent children. And we think of the destruction and the harm and the bloodshed that will be caused. And yet tonight, in a world like this, we can still quote this verse, for God so loved the world. The measure of God's love. You know, if it was left to us, there's people we would love and there's people we would leave out. That's just the sort of us. That's just the way we are. And we could love those that love us and those that despised and rejected us. Well, we could say, well, we could be right in showing them little love, but that's not the way God works. God's love is unmeasurable. He loved the world. It says that he gave his only son. That's the mystery of God's love. Why should God give his only son? Remember, it wasn't an angel or an archangel or a seraphim or a cherubim. It wasn't some mighty heavenly created being that came to suffer on the cross. It was God's eternal Son. You know, I often think of the Lord that night he lay in Gethsemane. That must have been an awful experience. When the Lord lay on the ground in Gethsemane's garden and he was contemplating the death of the cross the very next day. And he prayed on three occasions and he said, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. And then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, whenever I think of that, I think of the wee verse in Philemon, when Paul writing to Philemon after Onesimus had been saved, and he was sending Onesimus back to Philemon, and he says, in the past he has been unprofitable to you because must have stolen from him. He says, but now not only to you but to me also, he says, he's profitable. He says, I want you to receive him back, he says, as a brother, as a brother. And here's what he says. He says, and if he owes you anything, put that on my account. Those are tremendous words. And every time I think of that, I think of the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. And something like that, when the Lord was on the ground and the sweat was oozing from him like great drops of blood, you know, he lifted his eyes to heaven and he really said, Father, whatever it takes to save these lost souls, I'm prepared to pay it. How great the Father's love for me. Whatever it takes. And he rose from the garden floor and he went out to Calvary. And there at the cross at Calvary, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. There at the cross he was wounded for my transgressions. Oh, the love of God, the vastness, the measure of it, the mystery of it, that he should give his only Son. that whosoever, you know, I just think that of the masses of the world, that whosoever, we'll sing it again with the children, that whosoever surely means me, surely means me, that whosoever surely means me. For God so loved the world that whosoever. I remember, you know, only saved a few weeks. And I can remember reading this verse to myself sitting in the wee house on the Guildford Road in Lurgan. And I went and I got a dictionary. And the wee word so seemed to stand out. And I went and I got in the dictionary and I looked up the meaning of the word so. And it said to such an extent. That's what it says. To such an extent. And I never forget it, and I read the verse again. For God, to such an extent, so loved, to such an extent, he loved this world that he gave his only Son. And it includes the masses. I truly believe in God's great worldwide salvation for the whosoever will. That whosoever believeth, you see, that's the means whereby we come to know the Saviour. Not of works lest any man should boast. That whosoever believeth, you see, this great salvation, God has known the heart of man, that if it were of works or it were of payments, well, the some could and the some couldn't, and the some, if they could, you couldn't listen to them. They would just blow and blow and blow. But God says, no, this salvation that is being provided is going to be for everyone. It's going to be without cost, and it's going to be by the same means to all. Whosoever believeth. We say how simple God's way of salvation. It's not trying nor doing your best, but simply believing in Jesus. The weary and sinful find rest. Isn't it wonderful? Whosoever believeth, that's the means. In him, that's the man. The man, Christ Jesus. That's the man. Whosoever believeth in him. You see, the Lord could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way. He's the means. He's the man. And he says, whosoever believeth in him. And here's what else he said. Should not perish. That's the marvel. Who shall separate us from the love of God? No trial, no tribulation, nothing, height nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor wickedness in high places, nothing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We shall never perish. It thrills your soul this evening. We have something eternal from our almighty Creator and God. We shall never perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that's simply the message that God wants told out to the world. That's the message. There's no other message. There's no other means. The Lord is the way. His love is eternal. Wonderful. Marvelous. Where do you stand tonight? Where do you stand as regard to your soul for eternity? Have you any love for Jesus? We could sing it like this. Have you any love for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Will you let him in? I trust tonight that these few words will have been a help and an encouragement. I know that I've really enjoyed these thoughts to myself this week, and I trust that it'll be a help or a blessing or an encouragement to someone again in God's will. Let us pray. Our Father, this evening, we truly do wonder how thou could ever set thy love upon us. We truly marvel this evening, Father, that we are the possessors of eternal life, that we are indwelt by the Spirit of the living God. We truly marvel, Father, that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We truly marvel this evening that we have an eternal home prepared for us in glory. We are, Father, looking forward to the day when we hear that shout or call that will call us from this grubby world to the glory of heaven. We will be glad to leave behind, our Father, everything that would tie us to this earth. We can't wait to that moment when we meet the Saviour in the air, and when we sit at his feet and the story repeat, and the lover of sinners adore. Father, we marvel this evening that thy grace is extended even to the likes of us. We pray that thou would bless thy word worldwide tonight. We pray that this will be a night when many will hear and respond to the call of God, will accept God's Son as their Savior. We would take a moment to remember those that are in hospitals, those that are not well, those, Father, that are maybe facing eternity. May they be reached by the messenger of God this evening. May thy name be honored and glorified. We commit ourselves to thee. We thank thee again, Father, for the presence of God with us this evening. We thank thee for all that came, and we just ask thee again to remember us in thy will in the week that we have entered. And Father, we pray that thy hand would be upon every single one of us and guide us for thy glory. We remember the Lord said, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Father, we marvel this evening that we love thee because thou hast first loved us. Accept our thanks for thy Son, for every blessing in salvation, in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen.